Hi, this is Dominique for the blog Music Art Culture, and I am here with Andy. Say hello, Andy.
How's it going, ladies and gentlemen? What's good?
We're here just hanging out, enjoying what's left of the weekend, and about to get into a great conversation that I want all of you to hear and listen to. It's all about, what are we going to talk about? Music, culture,
and art.
Yes. I think we're going to have a lot of fun picking his brain, and you'll enjoy it as well. Some of the things that you might already know about Andy, if you follow me on social media, I'm sure you'll want to follow him as well. He has his own podcast. And tell us about that.
Podcast, radio show, online radio show called The Takeover. Every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Tune in.
AcceleratedRadio.net if you have access to a laptop computer. We also got an app as well, the Accelerated Radio app, so you can download that onto your smartphone.
Yes. So keep listening. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back to get into this conversation on a Sunday. Hello, this is Dominique with the blog Music Art Culture, and today we have a special guest. We have Andy with us here.
Yeah, what's going on?
So for all of those who maybe not aware yet, Andy is very interesting, and I'm going to let him tell us how interesting he is today on this episode of the blog Music Art Culture. But I want you to keep listening and get yourselves ready to follow on social media. Andy, let them know your handles. How can they find you?
You can follow me Twitter and Instagram, A_PlusLA. That's A_PLUSLA. Twitter and Instagram.
You hear that? So the hashtags and the handles are the same. What's the show's name?
The name of the show is called The Takeover. You can follow The Takeover on Twitter and on Instagram. XL Takeover. That's ACCEL Takeover. All one word. Once again, that's ACCEL Takeover. Twitter and Instagram.
You heard that. And of course, you can follow me at Dominique LaRue on Twitter and Instagram as well. We're going to talk about music, art, and culture, but also getting connected in the community and having presence in mentoring and looking at the bigger picture. So it's going to be a really cool conversation, and I want you to keep listening. We'll be right back. One moment. Okay, so we're back with Andy, and what I want to talk about is, first off, how long have you been circulating yourself in entertainment? Because, you know, your boy's got skills. I don't know if you're aware. You are over at the Accelerated Radio Network, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You've been there for more than 5 years that I'm aware of.
August 2013 is when we launched. So
August 2013, almost. So that's well over 10 years.
No.
No?
With Accelerated Radio, it launched in 2013. So we're looking at, what, 6 years?
6 years?
6 years, it'll be August.
And then with that, you have your show.
Mm-hmm.
And I know personally that you've also worked with a lot of interns that have come through there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that that's great that, like a lot of people, you're creative, but you also have that leadership ability that can tie into what it takes to actually show some stability and offer some longevity for people trying to just kind of break in and get some experience.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about that. Like, how do you feel being a mentor to young people that come in all hyped up on radio?
Okay. Well, I actually kind of got my start with Accelerated Radio, actually, as an after-school program coordinator. Accelerated Radio originally started off as a program giving back to the youth within the community, teaching kids how to do radio, how to produce their own radio shows or whatnot. And because I had a little background interning in the radio industry for some years alongside working in the nonprofit sector, you know, building that network, I had some people that looked at me like I'd be the perfect person to handle that position. So I had to go ahead and outreach to the kids at this particular school. I had to go to the classrooms, let them know about the program. I had to speak to the parents.
Now, how did that work over when you speak to the parents? Because I know sometimes, right, I think we've all kind of been there when we're really zealous and excited about something, and then we're just like, I just got to convince my mom and dad. Yeah. How are they going to let me be a part of this? Right. And, you know, how do I let them know that it's worth my time and it's worth them taking a chance
right.
on letting me do what I want to do with my time. Right. How would you approach that?
Well, I mean, my situation was pretty much unique because, you know, I worked alongside with the school as well, too. So I was already close with the administrators, the principals, vice principals or whatnot. So they would allow me to come to some of their, I don't know what you would call those, back to school night type meetings or whatnot.
Okay.
Where they invite the parents to come onto the campus so they could hear, you know, what's going on campus. So I didn't like directly go to people's homes and knock on the door and be like, hey, you know, I think your child would be great for this program. No.
But you met him in the middle.
But I, you know, I met him in the middle. And I kind of just, you know, had the opportunity to present the program. And, you know, whatever buy-in that I got from the parents, you know, they would ask certain questions, you know, what's the purpose of it? You know, what time do you guys have it? What days? You know, what do I need to qualify? And, I mean, that was pretty much the extent of my conversation with the parents to get their buy-in. We didn't really house too many youth at this particular school. It was actually a new school. So the school was being developed. They didn't even have an athletic program. So, you know, they were still being developed. But, you know, we had about 10 youth actually show up. So that's still a lot. You know, if you think about if you think about nonprofit and you think about, you know, how many kids or whoever, whatever issue that you're addressing, whether you, you know, dealing with issues that deals with adults, you know, to have 10 youth in the program or even 10 adults in the program, it's still a lot and you can still do impactful work. And actually, it was probably best that it was still kind of small because we didn't have too much equipment. It wasn't like we were going to bring the whole radio station on campus. So, you know, we probably brought maybe a couple computers, a couple speakers, and a couple other things that we needed in order to produce the show. But those 10 youth that we had that came on a regular basis, I mean, it was very much so impactful. These were youth already. You didn't really have to sell them the idea of the program because radio was something that they wanted to do. They either wanted to either talk, they either wanted to be, they wanted to play the music and be a DJ, or, you know, actually some of them wanted to just, hey, I want to post our show on social media.
Right.
So it was like these kids, they already kind of had an idea of what role they wanted to play a part. So me just kind of like coordinating everything, it was just, it was dope, you know, seeing their passion and them wanting to do the work. Now, one of the things that I, as my role as coordinator, which I thought was important, was instilling the value that they can get from this program. I think a lot of youth, they see that we have all these after-school programs, but don't necessarily know why I would be involved in it. You know, some of it, you know, they'd be involved just because I'm out of the streets, you feel me? I'm not, you know. But I would tell these youth every day, like, man, you are getting a skill at a young age that I didn't even get when I was a student. You know what I'm saying? At their age.
And the cool thing, though, is it's their skills that they are using on an everyday basis,
right? Exactly.
It's like they're picking up their phone. They're already texting. Mm-hmm. They're already tweeting. They're already on social media.
Absolutely.
And they're getting real life, you know, how to when it comes to things that they're already using on a regular basis.
Absolutely.
So it kind of even gave them the opportunity to kind of expand their working resume.
Absolutely.
To live in a more digital world that maybe gives them options outside of the Burger King and McDonald's that maybe were more prevalent.
Absolutely.
To, let's say, you know, maybe their parents back in the day, where now they can kind of justify, hey, mom, hey, dad, you see, me on my phone all day isn't exactly a waste of time. You know, I can make a little money. Or these are real skills, you know.
Absolutely.
Maybe I can, you know, work as a reporter or, you know, and it also helps support, you know, some theories on literacy as well.
That too.
So
that too.
It's really cool, some of the work, a lot of the work actually that you were able to do and that you're still doing.
I'm actually glad that you brought up literacy because a lot of the times before we even put the youth on air, before they could even, you know, touch the equipment, because, you know, that's one of the first things that they want to do, right?
Right.
They
want to
touch the, how does it work? They want to play with the computer. They want to play with the music or whatnot. We force them to do research.
Wow.
Go online. Go on the web, whatever, Google, Yahoo, wherever you find whatever information that you find, and pick a topic. And then, because it was a program, obviously, we're intentional about how we conduct everything, right? We don't want it to just, there has to be some sort of learning, right? So we purposefully told them no entertainment,
Interesting. So what do you mean by no entertainment?
We wanted them to focus on current events. I think it was easy. It was easy for them, especially, you know, the young boys that were there. It was easy for them to go ahead and talk stats. LeBron and Steph Curry, you know right. what I'm saying? It was easy, you know what I'm saying, for the girls talk about Nicki Minaj and Cardi B and stuff like right. that. You know, it was easy for them to do that. We wanted them to also be active in the community. I think at the time when I was housing the program, the presidential election was going on too.
Okay.
So we felt that it was important to, you know, politicize these youth at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, let them know that, you know, you guys do have power. You know what I'm saying? You right. don't have to look at Obama or look at Donald Trump. We all hate Donald. Everybody hates Donald Trump right now.
Right.
But we don't have to just look at them and the government as the only people that could, you know, cause and create change within the community. No, you have the power within yourself. You have to understand, because you live in this community, you are what you would consider a stakeholder, right?
Right.
So you do have a voice. Now, you're not 18 yet, right? You're mm-hmm. not 18, so you can't really flex your muscle that way, but you can organize a group of your friends and, you know, speak to maybe your English teacher and be like, hey, I want to do this, I want to do that. So, once again, we try to take them away from, you know, the entertainment aspect of radio, because radio is supposed to be fun, but we also wanted to provide them with the level of intelligence and know and become a more well-rounded person that, hey, there's a lot of stuff that's going on in this world, that's going on in your backyard that you discuss.
Right.
Like, you know, let's just say Ray Ray in the 10th grade, he knows that, oh, this particular store is getting shut down on the corner of his street. And Ray Ray is able to talk to his homies on his block. And he's like, oh, man, for real? Now, if it was Donald Trump coming into the community and be like, hey, your store is getting shut down, they might not receive the message from Donald Trump the way they would receive it more so from Ray Ray. You know what
right.
I mean? So that was one of the things that, you know, we wanted to emphasize. They do research. They do read these articles. We make sure that they read the articles. And we actually had them write a summary on a piece of paper, because eventually this was going to be the same thing that they were going to share on air. So there's a little bit of reading. There's definitely a little bit of writing as well on top of that. So, yeah, I mean, overall, to answer your initial question, you know, how does it feel to mentor? I mean, I feel like it was my duty. You know what I mean? Like,
you felt that you had to give back.
I wanted to give back, you know, because I was a youth myself that grew up in these same communities, in these same underprivileged communities. And like, I didn't have some of these programs growing
right.
up, you know what I'm saying, that these youth have today. So me just wanting to give back is just, you know, I see a lot of these kids growing up and they look just like me. And, you know, if I could help them not, you know, go through the same mistakes that I went through as a youth, and, you know, I feel like I did my part, you know.
But I will say, too, there is a true leadership quality that I believe that certain people possess, and you are one of those people, because
I appreciate that.
We always see in culture as a whole, there are people in high positions of authority that have access to information, but not a lot of people are willing to get in there and make sure that other people are aware
right.
of the information
right.
or the way that they can communicate in this world of information.
Right.
And it's really just a testament to how you are involved with the being of not just creativity, but also how to feed into it and create a forum or a space that is able to regenerate itself by bringing in informed people who can keep the work going. And I think that's one of the best things about mentoring, because mm-hmm. when you find great mentors like yourself who aren't intimidated to get in there and talk to these kids,
mm-hmm.
who aren't afraid to say, hey, this is what I expect you to do, and this is the expectation, and you're going to do it if you're going to be here, and understand that these kids are actually pretty smart and coherent, and
yeah.
they understand, hey, this is
yeah.
cool, and I want to be a part of it, so
yeah.
there is no other option for me but to do what I'm being asked to do.
Definitely.
And I think that's a lacking dynamic that some people have when it comes to some of the youth, because they treat them or, you know, as though they're adults, or tolerate them as though,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're not able or capable to make, you know, informed decisions.
Yeah.
But it's just really refreshing to know that you're like, hey, yeah, I got my own show. I've also mentored people coming in mm-hmm. to this station. I've also mentored people who want to see how I do what I do. I give them skills so they're just not out there sounding like a bunch of idiots, but they can, you know, make sense and put themselves out there, not only as a good representation of myself, mm-hmm. but also as a good representation for themselves. Right. And I think that's really awesome. So I know that we haven't really talked a lot about your show. So this is what I want to do now. I want to start talking about your show, The Takeover. I've been very blessed to be able to sit in a couple of times, and it's always a lot of fun. You all have to check it out. It's a lot of fun. You can follow them on social media. They do you do the live sessions too, where people can, you know, check out the studio and everything that's going on.
Right.
So I will say the last episode was, well, my guest appearance. Where you had the tell us about it. What was it?
Yeah, the last episode that you was a part of, you wasn't technically a guest per se.
No.
And you know, that's one of the things I would say about my show. Yeah, we have guests, but we also have visitors.
Yes.
So like our show is kind of like an open door policy. You know, like you guys can come and hang out and just chill. You know, we're fun like that. But
this particular episode, it was the battle of the West Coast 90s.
Yes, it was a battle between myself and my co-host, Big Homie Quan. Give him a follow.
Big Homie Quan.
King BHQ. Give him a follow. Basically, it was just a fun internal battle between us.
The best of the West Coast
hip-hop. The best of the West Coast hip-hop 90s. Who had the better playlist or whatnot.
So he basically invites a few of us in to take sides on who we voted, right? That's what we did.
Yes.
Me and two other of your guests.
Shout
that
out to
evening.
Dion, Debo, and Dime, I believe.
Dime. I thought it was
Dime.
Dime for sure. There we go.
Dime the model. Big ups.
There you go. Woo, girl. Okay. So, yeah, but it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And I like how there's always something fun going on the show. And then there was also that one time where it was the card game. What was that about?
Oh yeah. So before I get there, I just want to say that our show is basically, it's a weekly top five countdown. So each week we normally, we have a top five countdown where we switch up the theme. Something that myself and my co-host, we create. We can get hella creative with it. I mean, we go from R&B to hip hop to country to reggae to dancehall to pop to, you know, whatever. We did a Mexican Independence countdown one day, you know what I mean? So like we're open to a lot of the genres, but this particular week we decided to do something. We decided to deviate away from the countdown and that was to do the battle just because what we do, we take turns in producing the show, whether a lot of people don't know. It's three of us actually now, myself, King BHQ, Big Homie Quan, and Angelo. We all take turns in producing the show. That means, for example, this coming Wednesday, it's my turn. So I have to come up with the theme, I have to come up with the countdown, and I'm in charge of booking whatever potential guests, right? I have to create the flyer, and I have to, you know, be in charge of the promotion or whatnot. So this particular week, you know, we kind of deviated away from that. And, you know, we wanted to have a battle because, you know, I have a certain taste of music that Big Homie Quan also has a certain taste of music. May be similar, but it also may be different. And we kind of wanted to just, you know, kind of showcase, you know, the differences that we had.
Right. And just for our listeners, if they're not urbanly aware on the lingo, battle is not anything confrontational or negative. Yeah. In this sense, we're talking about strictly music appreciation.
Basically.
And rating the music that, you know, he's playing on his show and basically who likes what more
everything.
Than what and which music is the best when it comes to what people want to hear.
Absolutely.
So the battle is just really a choice phrase to describe, hey, like, who really cares about what you're bumping? People really want to hear my selection.
Right.
And then,
Absolutely.
You know, who has the best mix. So that's really what it's all about.
Right. And the feedback was cool. The feedback was fun. It was a great battle. He had some songs on his list that I forgot about and was just like, wow, this is pretty cool. You know, I definitely could see us doing this again. But I ended up winning the battle.
Yes, he did. So. He did. And I think Big Homie Quan was a little disappointed,
He was very disappointed.
He felt like he was gonna bring it to the other side.
Yeah, because you know the other two individuals, I guess, were friends of his. So, but you know, I was able to get them to be on my side. So,
oh yeah, you swayed the judges, and he got voted out. So he definitely was a little disappointed. But I tell you one thing: it's really hard. See, what people don't understand about hip hop is so dynamic. The rap genre is so dynamic.
Yeah,
it is very much pop. It is very much jazz. It is very much rock and roll. Mm-hmm. And you had a good mix of pop type records in your selection.
If you want to go ahead and consider it pop.
MC Hammer is pop.
So, you know, I had to go ahead and throw in that throwback MC Hammer. Let's Get It Started. For all you youngins that don't know about it.
The Genie Pants.
Go ahead and YouTube, Google it. For all my old heads that know what's up. Y'all remember when MC Hammer had the Let's Get It Started, the video with the troop jacket and everything.
Yeah.
You know, I threw that on there because I just, first off, another thing about my show, I like to play music. I like to play certain artists that we may forgot about too, right? Like, yo, this song was a hit, but then you forgot about it, right?
Right.
So I wanted to play that part too. I wanted to throw that into my playlist because I think a lot of people forgot about that song. I think people forget about MC Hammer's artistry too.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things about music too, music is subjective, right? As far as who receives the music, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the way I saw it, even though Big Homie Quan lost, it was still no losers at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying?
I think you just curated a better listing for that particular day.
You personally enjoyed the MC Hammer song, right?
I did. But everybody loved
Debo,
the dance.
My man Debo, you know, who happens to be, you know what I'm saying, a brother, a man, you know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to say it's a difference between man and women and what they like.
Yeah.
He said that was the lower point in my playlist, you know what I'm saying? But I understood it because that type of song didn't necessarily speak to him, and that's okay.
Right.
That is okay. That's one of the reasons why I love the countdown, because people will listen to the countdown and they'll be like, whoa, you missed the song. Oh, no, this song should have been lower on the countdown. Oh, no, this song should have been higher on the countdown. I like to do the countdown because, you know, it is subjective, you know what I'm saying, from those who produce it. But I also like to get feedback from those who listen to it because, you know what, hey, I'd appreciate if you've been like, hey, you missed that song. You know what, I may throw that song into another countdown or something, you know. I like music, so I like, you know, I like feedback and all that good stuff, so.
I feel it. So, you know what, I think we should throw out a few surveys, too, over social media, and let them know your handle as well. Tell them again.
Oh, man, Twitter, Instagram, A_PlusLA, that's A_PLUSLA, Twitter, Instagram.
All right, and then you can follow me, Dominique LaRue. Of course, it's really long, as always, but guess what? I'll put the links up and head over to our Twitter page for the show at MACEF Public Arts. Again, that's at MACEF Public Arts. And then, of course, my handle at Dominique LaRue, DominiqueLaRuex. So long. It's almost like you had to take notes. I know somebody's like, what the hell? But it's okay. You can always do the playback. But speaking of playback, because what, are we in the finals right now? We're just going to do a quick little segue. If you all are checking out the social media photo of this dude, you will be in major appreciation for the LA Lakers jacket that he has on. If you are a Lakers fan.
Lake show all day, baby.
We've got the gold, the purple.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the gold and purple. Bump LA all day. Bump the Clippers. The disrespect.
Yeah, man. Still Lakers all day, baby.
Oh, LA is LA. We got to support Cali.
Yeah, but the real LA team. Hey, go to the Staples Center. Look up in the rafters. You're going to see a banner by almost every Los Angeles franchise except for the Clippers. LA Kings.
Well, you know, the Clippers get a bad rap.
The LA Sparks. Hell, even Taylor Swift got a damn banner up there. You don't see no Clipper banner up there, though.
The disrespect.
I'm sorry, man.
He put Lake Taylor show out
all
there.
Day, homie. Purple and gold.
Well, yeah, purple and gold. That's big, the way to go.
Big ups to Kobe, Magic. You know what I'm saying? LeBron, you better win a chip for us.
You know, he came. He's bringing us in order. He's giving us order. You know, we've got, you know, the boy ball.
Shout out
the
to
man
Lonzo.
Ball, you know?
Shout out to Lonzo.
Yeah.
Get back. We need you back. We need some
we
help.
We got Rondo.
Rondo's cool. Big ups to Rondo. He hit that game winner against Boston.
Yeah.
That was dope.
Rondo's always been, you know.
Absolutely. Rondo's shout out to my man Kuzma, too. You know, he won the little
Kuzma
MVP.
Yeah, for the, what was it?
It was the USA versus World Rising Stars Challenge in the All-Star Weekend. So big ups to him.
Oh, yeah, he did that.
Yeah.
And looked good doing it. Okay. You know, I don't know. You know, I always tell my ladies, FYI.
The way you said it, though.
Look, seriously, ladies, FYI. If you are not into sports, let me give you the quick, like, 1, 2, 3 step. Get into sports, okay? Don't lie to yourself and make yourself think, oh, you know, like, my lipstick and my high heels and my manicure is going to do it, because it's not. You better get a hot dog, a drink, and pop some popcorn, or do whatever you got to do, and, like, get into a game. And this is all you have to do. Okay?
No lie. No lie. I give you that.
He's co-signing. So, ladies, listen. Pay attention. If you don't remember anything else, remember this. You'll be more into the game if you identify the cutest players on the field or the ones on the floor. Okay?
Well, go ahead and watch basketball for that.
Yeah, watch basketball. That's football. I will tell you. Well, you'll see muscles. That's what you'll see. Okay. But football, I think you have better food. Football gives you better food, so you have more to talk about because it takes longer to move it across the field. Okay. Basketball, if you look at the players that you find the most attractive, it'll help you remember their names.
Okay.
And then you can follow along with the stats, mm-hmm. because that's what he'll be talking about. Mm-hmm. And then it'll help you do a little bit of research. So at least by the time the playoffs come, you won't seem like the idiot who just got dressed up to come to the game and keep standing at the wrong times to go to the restroom while...
I think you went a little bit too far calling them idiots. They don't have to be idiots.
You're right. That was kind of mean. Idiots. You're not an idiot. You just look...
Here's the thing.
How can I say
you could be all glammed up and all that other good stuff. As long as you're present, I think that's just good enough.
He's being modest. He's going to hate you if you go to the restroom when someone's doing, like, the finals, something in the fourth quarter.
Honestly, it really doesn't
matter.
And
he misses it while you're walking by and start asking questions when you come back.
In that regard, yeah. But then that's why, you know, the fellas will be in one section, the ladies will be over there.
You see? Listen to your girl. See, he's already trying to dismiss you. So you got
to... No, I'm not trying to dismiss you. What I'm saying is you can still come over to the game. But honestly, I'm not expecting you to know the stats and all that good stuff. But if you want to at least try and at least, you know, try to understand it, that's always a good thing. But I'm not going to expect you to have this full-fledged conversation about, oh, man, he just dropped like 10 assists and stuff like that. Nah. But if you do happen to know that knowledge, just know that that's a 100% plus.
It is a plus.
You know what I'm saying?
And that came from A plus.
Yeah.
Telling you that that's a plus.
Absolutely.
And that's a man's purpose, perspective.
We may want to roll the red carpet for you that night. Like, oh, for real?
There you go.
Oh, okay.
You see, ladies?
You want that back rub, mamas?
There you go.
Don't even trip. Need some oil? Okay, I got you.
So.
You need that feet rubbed? Oh, yeah, I got you.
See, pay attention. Sit on his lap. Talk about what you do know, but it has to be game related. And then maybe you can get a little something extra after the game.
Absolutely.
I'm just saying.
Absolutely. It was Valentine's Day, so, you know.
Oh, the lovers out there. Mm-hmm. Whoever they are, good luck to you.
I think they're long distance.
Yeah, they might be. Mm-hmm. Over the moon. Past Pluto.
Oh, my God.
Who knows where they are. Mm-hmm. Wink, wink. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, good luck to you all. But, okay, so we've talked sports. We've talked the takeover.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We've talked mentorship.
Yep.
But let's get a little bit in depth on who Andy is.
Oh, wow.
Let the people know. Let the people know. Well, let's just start off with the...
Yeah, I was about to say, because I feel like I'm on an interview or something.
Well,
I mean,
of course.
This is an interview, but I mean, you're going to ask some specific questions.
You're on the blog, Music, Art, Culture. We want to know all about you and how you move. And, like, let's just start off. L.A. native, yeah?
L.A. native, born and raised.
College bound?
College. Not college bound. Attended college. Didn't get a chance to finish.
Well, what school did you go to? Give it a shout out.
Shout out to Cal State LA, Golden Eagles.
Alma mater.
That's where you went?
I started there. I finished at Dominguez with the Bulls. Okay. The Toro.
Big ups to Dominguez. Nah, I went to Cal State LA. I initially was there as a music major. I originally went to school to learn how to, you know, make beats, produce beats or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was young, didn't really know everything about anything. And come to find out, when I got up on campus, I didn't see anything close to, like, a studio or anything like that. So I was like, I think I need to find something else. I actually was going to transfer to Dominguez after doing some research about, you know, what it is that I wanted to study. They had a program or whatever, or a major called Digital Media Arts. So it had all that stuff that I was looking into doing. Some paperwork fell through, ended up not getting accepted. Decided to stay at Cal State. I switched my major to business.
Okay.
With a focus in marketing management. And I got to a point where, you know, I just couldn't afford school, and I had to fall off and kind of get into the working world and start working.
As a lot of us do, though.
As a lot of us do.
And, you know, I think that I love the fact that you shared it, because it's just the reality of the world. I think people forget that however you start, that has nothing to do with the way that you finish.
Right.
And I just think it's, you know, it's amazing.
I will say this, though, and I think it's important.
Well, yeah, to tie it back in, though, to the mentoring factor. Education is very much in the forefront of what you do and what you believe.
Right.
And I think it's just a great thing, because you know the value of it. And also, there's a lot of people that start off at school, don't finish, and do great things.
Right.
And, you know, nobody take that out of context, because I know there's probably somebody listening who's like, what are you trying to say? I'm saying that, what? I don't even think, did Steve Jobs finish? I think he dropped out. Bill Gates, too.
I believe he dropped out.
Maybe Zimmerman Google finished. Google.
But I did hear something like that. They did drop out or whatever.
So, yeah, but anyway, going on to say, I shouldn't have cut you off on my tangent.
No, I wanted to.
So, music major, moved over to business.
Moved over to business.
Which totally fits your mind frame.
It did. It did. I will say, some of the classes is definitely a different language. I mean, you know, you're taking accounting classes, you're taking statistics classes. I mean, it's completely different from your regular form of algebraic math or whatever. But no, what I wanted to say was, one of the reasons why I didn't get a chance to finish was because I was, can I cuss? Can we cuss on here?
How deep?
Can I say BS?
BS.
Okay, well, let me just keep it BS. I was BSing.
Bullshit.
Yeah, I was BSing in school. I mean, like, you know, first time out of your parents' house, and you know
that taste of freedom.
The taste of freedom, and you know what
your
I'm
first
saying?
Pair of panties in the dorm.
Oh, you speaking my life then? Huh? Speaking my life. I'm saying that to say that, you know, when you get to college, you're responsible for yourself, right?
Yeah.
It's not like you're in high school and there's that bell that rings at 8 o'clock for you to start class. No, like in college, if class starts at 8 o'clock, you got to be there. You know what I'm saying?
At 7:50.
7:50, whatever time. There's no bell to tell you when class ends. So yeah, if you want to leave early, you can leave early. But you know, if you're gonna miss out on whatever assignment, you're gonna miss out on the assignment. But once again, focus. Focus, you know.
Hashtag focus.
You know, if you're gonna be in school, man, really take advantage of the time. The parties and all that stuff will be there, but like, really take time to go ahead and focus on your studies.
Hashtag focus.
And I say that to say that I could be working on my PhD right now, if I had put the time in for the studies, which I did put the time in, but you know, I was kind of more focused on trying to have fun and party and
like,
trying to
see
what's up with these girls, you know what I'm saying? But and, you know, and I guess that's a natural thing too. You know, I don't want to be naive and say that, oh, you can't go to school and party at the same time. I've known people who've done it well. All I'm saying is just
hashtag,
you know,
push.
Try to manage your time well. There's a balance. You can study and you can still party. And I've seen a lot of people do it. So
hashtag time management.
Hashtag time management. Time management is a big thing. That's one of the big things you're gonna learn. That's if you decide to go to college. Because I also think that college isn't for everybody.
Yeah.
I think people need to involve themselves into trades as well too. I don't think a lot of people.
I agree. We all can't be accountants.
Yeah,
we do need our plumbers, our electricians. We need our clerks, our absolutely. County clerks for the city. We need our people who, you know, can our infrastructure.
Absolutely.
You know, we need those people. You know, people who are very good at carpentry, construction, you know that's math and, you know, measurements and actually a whole lot of other intricate things, because you have to know weights and materials. And it's all about knowing, too, what your talent and skill is.
That's
and there's no shame in occupation. There is no occupational shame, because, you know, culture and society, we require all parts.
Mm-hmm.
you know? And I thank the Lord that there's people who understand accounting, because I'm not one of them. you know, I'm so glad that there's people who just really get turned on by numbers, because where would my taxes be without you? You know, it's like, it's so true.
There's something for everybody out there.
There's something for everybody. And you know, there's not a lot of truth spoken to the fact too, that people go to school for different reasons. Some people have a real gravitational pull to knowledge and information. Others are like, look, I want to get out of the house. That was kind of me. I wanted to get out of the house, mm-hmm. and I needed a way to sustain myself as a young woman, not really, you know, being naive, graduated out of high school, but I needed something that was going to give me an opportunity to really stabilize myself mentally and financially and allow me to experience life without just kind of throwing myself, you know, nakedly on the street and getting an apartment and not knowing, you know, I knew enough to know I didn't know enough mm-hmm. to survive, and I needed some help along the way. And I think school is a great opportunity for young people, and it's just a great opportunity for people who have a value on learning.
Absolutely.
You know, there is no age gap. There's no age appropriations on that. If you have a value for knowledge and learning and culture, because, you know, school does create an atmosphere, and it lets people know that, hey, you know, there's literally a club, a group, something for everyone.
Right.
You know, you can be as weird as you want to be, and there's a group for you.
Absolutely.
And there's a club for you.
Yeah. That's, you know. that was another thing I can say, you know, my college experience. I think, like, in high school, you know, you was concerned about, you know, how you dressed and all that other type of stuff.
Or if the cool kids would like you.
The cool kid. But in college, man, it's so many just different type of people that, you know, none of that stuff even matters at that point. One of the things I can say I love about the college campus is that a lot of the majority of the people that are there, they're trying to do something for themselves.
Yes.
So, you know, I always found a college campus to be, you know, an inspirational place. You have a whole bunch of people.
Hashtag college.
You know, that just want to make something of themselves. You know, I mean, there's some people who go to school, get their degree, and don't do nothing with it. But, you know, there are those who will do something with it. So.
And that's their right, you know?
That's their right. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if you finish your 4-year, 6-year, 2-year, 8-year, whatever your thing is, whether you're like a full-time researcher for the rest of your life or whatever, like, that is your business.
Mm-hmm.
You know? If you, like, say, you know what, I did my time, I'm out this piece, and you're like, I'm going to work. That's right. Your thing. Some people, you know, we actually need full-time students, like career students, because believe it or not, they're your, like, university professors. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. they're the people who can tell you what works and what doesn't work on a university level when it comes to, like, you know, cultivation of society, because that's really what, you know, universities are all about on that level.
Right.
And it's really cool to just get those different experiences, because you're pulling them from all over the globe. It's like there is no right or wrong. To piggyback on what you said, you know, in high school, it's like, do I fit into this one group
mm-hmm.
who's so, like, you know, one-sided, one way? And then when you get to college, it's like there is no one way. There's every way. There's every perspective. There's anything goes. And it's almost like if you are not an individual in any way, shape, or form, it's almost questionable to consider maybe you don't have an identity, because you haven't evolved from who you were in high school into this new form of adult who says, you know what, it's okay that I don't know. Whatever it is, I don't know. It's okay that I'm feeling. You know, you start to feel things that you haven't felt emotionally, socially. You know, you become more aware of cultural injustice, cultural indifference.
Right.
And it creates an even larger conversation that is so unique to humanity and society that just challenges us to redefine the way we construct, you know, our communities. And it's just such a melting pot of, like, imagination and, you know, like, theory. Right. It's awesome. So if you haven't thought of, if you have kids, maybe you don't have kids, or maybe you just want to take a yoga class, I don't know, go ahead and register, do that, and, you know, encourage somebody on the local level, or maybe, you know, state, international, whatever, to explore and or support education. Maybe even you want a mentor. That's a great thing to do. As our guest has continuously done for his show, giving people the opportunity, sharing your platform, and even having guests come on to the show. It's really great. It's awesome that you are one of those voices who feeds back into the growth of, the entertainment scale. Because not a lot of people do that.
Yeah, it's crazy how many people have reached out to me interested in, having their own radio show, podcast. And, I feel like I'm still learning and growing, I feel like I'm not where I want to be just yet. But to have people, reach out to me for advice and stuff like that, I'm flattered by it. I appreciate the fact that, I can provide people with the level of value. So I'm all for it, People gave me the opportunity. It's only right that, that I give back too.
Very well said. And his name is Andy. AKA A+,
A+ on the radio, A underscore plus LA.
There you go. And that was the official handle, right?
That's right.
So don't forget it, people. Make sure as you're listening, you're getting on your computer, you're going over Twitter, Instagram, follow your boy. He's got content.
Do me a favor. There's an app called Spreaker, right?
Spreaker.
So it's speaker, but with an R. Spreaker.com. Search for the Accelerated Radio and search for the Takeover. And you could be able to, you should be able to find every single show that we've done since we've been in existence for, 5 years now.
You hear that, people? You hear that? Make sure you get on that. Yeah, because I can tell you right now, I already follow them. I've been following them for a long time.
Appreciate it.
And the show is, like, very clear and legit.
Absolutely.
So I think you'd enjoy it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you know how to follow them. You know how to listen to the show. You know what you need to do. You need to head over to Spreaker. You already know what it is, the blog, music, art, culture, and what are we about? Cultivation of our important people that are helping us push forward in this community of creatives. Absolutely. And Andy happens to be one of them. So be able to support him. Not just in listening, but you know what I'm saying? Give him a shout out.
Yeah, shout out if y'all want to, cross promote. You want to come in for an interview or whatever, discuss whatever event, business, music CD that you got dropping off or whatever. Let's collab. Let's work together. I got an interview for you. We shout you out. All of that. Make sure you also do the same thing for this one too. Music, arts, culture, hosted by Miss Dominique.
That's
what it is.
But yeah, I love working with you and the interactions that we do have, even just really not really working, because we just pop into each other's lives and like, hey, what are you doing, what are you doing, and intersect at whatever point we do. But it's always a really good time because you're one of those great people who I enjoy talking with things, like work, personal, and it's all good. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of young people in our age demographic, we're really out here, everybody's on the hustle, everybody's on the grind, but the reality is, you can't be that deep in the hustle, that deep in the grind, to where you're not connecting with the people who are in your industry, who do what you do, who value what you value, and are really making like impressions on the minds of the people in a positive way.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? That falls in line with what you're doing. So, shout out to good people networking, hashtag push again, hashtag knowledge is power. I'm all about the hashtags. Why? I don't know, maybe I'm a little hashtag, corny, but.
You said hashtag focus, hashtag whatever else you were saying.
Oh, yes.
Hashtag knowledge, hashtag school, hashtag college.
Hashtag
all of that.
Hashtag. So we are coming to a close, but you know what? I still got some things to ask you. So I got to make sure I ask what I want to ask. So
what are you saying? You got to make sure you got to ask.
You know.
Why you got to change your voice like that?
I think I have an idea. Okay. So I don't want to give myself away, but you probably already know. So this is where I ask the male perspective on things about relationships. Now, I usually don't do this, but I think I have to ask your perspective because you just really feel like an in-depth individual. All
right.
So, what would you do? Oh, should I even do this?
Go ahead.
I don't know. Okay, well, first off, okay, are you dating or single?
I'm single.
Okay. Single, not dating, in LA. What do you think about the dating scene? Is it overrated, underrated?
That's the end of the question?
Yes. Overrated or underrated dating in LA? From the single man's perspective, who works in entertainment?
You know, dating is there. It's very broad, right?
Very broad.
It's very broad. Very broad. I feel like there's a lot of layers and variables that come along with dating.
Hashtag layers. Hashtag dating in LA.
To say,
should we hashtag broad, or is that too offensive? Is that borderline controversial?
No. Okay. Broad is not like, oh, you're this broad that I'm talking to. No. Broad is just, it's broad. Dating is broad. I think it covers, it's like, it's an umbrella term for a lot of things that can mean a lot of things. To answer your question with regards to dating in LA being overrated
or underrated,
I'm going to say neither. I think it's just a matter of just being able to find somebody who is willing to tolerate the differences. You know what I mean?
Very interesting.
Okay, so it's nothing for us to connect through our similarities, right?
Right.
Through what we have in common.
Right.
But I think for any relationship, friendship, you know what I'm saying, dating, friendship, since we're specifically talking about dating, I just think, you know, whoever you're talking to, whoever you're dating, are you able to tolerate the stuff that you don't like?
Ooh.
And I say that to say that, you know,
Hashtag deep.
Not even just with my experiences, but just even, you know, people that I know, stories that I've heard from friends. And it always just seems like, you know, people want to walk away from a relationship off of the first instance of something that's different amongst them, or a situation in which they disagree about something, you know?
Yeah.
And I just feel like, you know, people talk about they want that agape love. For those of you who don't know what that agape love is, it's a Christian term or whatnot, where it talks about unconditional love.
Yeah.
And I know there's a lot of people out there that want unconditional love, but I don't think they know how to give unconditional love, right?
Right.
At the end of the day, everything is freaking conditional.
You know, but what I'm should saying? It be?
And it shouldn't. I agree. It should not. It shouldn't be conditional. You know, and you know, when I look at my last situation, I felt like, you know, I challenged myself in that regard. You know, I pushed through. You know, even in our differences, the other half, not so much.
So now, it takes compromise. Hashtag dating. Hashtag compromise.
Of course, it takes compromise. You know. But the thing is, are you willing to tolerate your dating partner's BS?
I think
that's key. You know what I'm saying? Because if you can tolerate it, then you guys can push through and pretty much overcome anything in my eyes, you know. But I think for a lot of people, you know, we live in this microwave society. We want what it is that we want, how we want it now.
Or what we see
or perceive. Want it right now. And you know, when you're dating somebody, you're dating a whole different person who probably had a whole different upbringing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, yeah, you guys are going to bump heads. That's how I see it. But if you guys want to break up after the first freaking argument or something like that, to me...
Doomsday.
To me, that's not love, man.
That's true.
Love is unconditional, you know? And I'm not saying that... I'm not saying that you can express that, hey, I don't like when you do this, right? But you brought it up, compromise, right? Speak about it, hey, I'm not feeling when you do this. Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that I did do this or didn't do this.
Right.
You know, how can I, you know, not Tap do in. This or how can yeah. we, you know what I'm saying? Whatever. That kind of deal. So.
I think that's pretty solid.
Love is not, dating is not, it's not underrated, it's not overrated. It's just... I don't know how to describe it. It's just, it's like the lottery, low key.
You know, lottery?
You just got to be lucky.
Dating is like the lottery in LA.
You got to, I mean, look.
You never know what you're going to pull.
You
got to
choose multiple numbers, right?
You never know what you're going to pull. And when you get that that magic combination, you're just lucky.
And hey, you don't have to have all five numbers to win. You can win off of two numbers. You know what I'm saying? Not everything is perfect.
Yeah, that's true. So dating in LA, I think that's perfect. That's a good way to... ended out, Yeah.
I will say this, though. Not even just LA. What I find to be interesting.
Do tell.
Dating online. Dating online seems to...
Scary.
I can't call it overrated and I can't call it underrated, but it seems to be a real huge trend. I want to say maybe the last 4 or 5 weddings that I've attended within the past 5 years or so, all those couples met online.
So, you know,
they met on some sort of dating app, and I'm just kind of thinking, like, all right, maybe I'm losing in that regard, because I don't know, I'm not a big fan of the whole dating apps and stuff like that.
It's a wave of the future. But I will say this, though. If you're, like, a really dynamic person, which, you know, in my mind you are, mm-hmm. brother soldier, sir. Mm-hmm. So I don't think dating apps work really well for dynamically inclined people. I'm so serious.
Are
because
they above that? Is that what you're saying?
I do. They're so dynamic emotionally. It's so scary. Like, there is no yes or no for some people. And I think if certain people just leave it to dating apps, they might be in a very scary situation if they choose to marry someone that they've only had to check yes, no, maybe. I would rate this on a scale of 1 to 5, maybe give it a 4. Like, that doesn't let you know in real life.
Well, I don't believe that's all the way. The dating app to me is, it's the buffer, right?
Right.
It's the buffer between, like, the guy maybe actually having to approach the woman. Because even after the dating app, yeah, you match, you still got to go out on a date, see each other. And then all that other stuff that you refer to, that's when you can figure that out. So I'm going to slightly disagree with you a little bit right there when it comes to that.
That's fair.
But, you know, to each his own, you know what I mean?
To each his own each when his dealing own. In love, dating, relationships, and Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And we'll leave it right there.
Absolutely.
But I love what you had to say. I think it's an honest perspective on the male perspective of what dating can look like, especially in a major city like this. So that was pretty cool. The last question as we roll out, this is my favorite question. I've got to just totally tell you why. There's no right or wrong answer, but it's all about what you think, how you feel, and what you want to be. So if you were any animal at all, out of all the animals, right? I don't care if it's a platypus, a dolphin, and anything in between. Okay, yes. What, if you were an animal, what animal would you be and why?
I'd be a human.
You really took it there?
I took it there.
You took it there, yo?
Here's the thing.
Oh, marsupial, straight?
We're part of the animal kingdom. So we're essentially no different from an animal other than our brain, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's true.
Where we can go ahead and think. But, I mean, to play along, right?
No, you said your answer.
Okay, cool. A dog? Nah, I ain't no dog. A bird? Nah, I'm cool with being a human being. We're part of the animal kingdom, and we're very much on animalistic, just like what you would consider to be a typical animal. So, yeah, I'm sorry for giving you a smart answer, but, yeah, that's your answer right there.
Well, the words of wisdom from a wise man named Andy.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I can tell you one thing. You are the first to select a human being.
That's right. I had to pop that cherry on the tongue, you know what I'm saying?
You know what? I think you did. I think it exploded, actually.
Woo!
But,
did some work on that.
That's right. It's been a great time, and thank you all for listening, and thank you, Andy, for joining us on this episode of the Blog Music Art Culture. It is truly a pleasure to have this in-depth conversation with you and be able to talk about some of your life experiences and how you've been adding to the LA community as a whole.
Absolutely.
Again, make sure you all check out his show,
The Takeover, every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to 11 Pacific Standard Time, acceleratedradio.net. That's ACCELERADIO. I hope I said that. I fucked up. Excuse me.
And it's okay, because we'll post the links as well.
Accelerated Radio.
That's right. Accelerated Radio. Make sure you listen on Spreaker. And it's okay if you missed a little bit, because guess what? We're going to post it on our social media as well.
Absolutely.
We've got Andy, a.k.a. A+, dropping A+. Knowledge on us.
Absolutely.
Just like his GPA. Always exceptional. And a pleasure to be with. So until next time, you all keep listening. Like, share, tweet, follow. Until next time, we're out.
Yada-da.
Thank you for listening to the blog Music Art Culture. For more info on today's guest, go to musicartculture.org. Click the contact page and send us an email. Until next time.